This is Cincy 360, about Cincinnati from Cincinnati, on ESPN 1530. Here's James Rapine and Mo Egger.
Here, well, half of us is here. I'm here. I'm James Rapine. It is great to be with you. You will hear Mo Egger. Mo back at it today at 3:05. It is great to be with you on a Thursday. A lot to get to. Thursday night football tonight. We're going to dive into LeBron James and why he had to hire armed guards for his house. Believe that, Jimmy? You see that story yet? We'll get into that and so much more during Quick Hits. Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com, coming up in about 20 minutes. I'll talk with Moeller product, Ohio State product, and current Cincinnati Bengal rookie Sam Hubbard. That coming up in about 15 minutes, about 10 minutes. 10 minutes from now, Sam Hubbard and my conversation with him. But I want to start today. But real quick, before I start, I don't want to forget this. Shout out to everyone that actually tweeted Mo that he was 52. Talked to Mo this morning, and it was his birthday yesterday. He did not turn 52, by the way. But yesterday I filled in for him 3 to 6, and I came in and out of breaks and wished him a happy 52nd birthday, and people bought it. So I love that that happened. So shout out to everybody that tweeted Mo Egger and wished him a happy birthday and added the numbers 52 in there. I'm sure it made him feel young. But let's start today with something that I think is quite interesting, and I've been paying attention to this stuff all week, and it's an interesting 180. And we do this, and the media does this when they get more information. And what did we say going into the season with the Bengals? Yeah, the national media just sees Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton, and that's it. Vegas just sees Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton, and they don't really take into consideration that the offensive line might be better. They don't take into consideration that Joe Mixon could be a breakout star. They don't consider all of the, heck, no one thought that Tyler Boyd was going to be as good as he is so far this year. But the national media was really, 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 really low on the Bengals. I think that's starting to change. I think after a 3-1 start, 3 of 4 on the road, a crazy win over the Falcons in Atlanta in a really tough place to play, I think the national media is starting to take notice. And I know Stephen A. Smith stole the headlines when he went on that rant on, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday. Do not tell me about how the Bengals are going to be a contender. Playoff wins, Marvin Lewis. Okay, fine. Outside of him, I think a lot of national media is realizing that the Bengals are pretty good. And it started with Adam Schein. He wrote, and he writes for NFL.com. And he did this article of top emerging NFL bandwagons to jump on. And number 3 on his list, ahead of the Baltimore Ravens. Number 3 on his list, ahead of the New England Patriots. Number 3 on his list was the Cincinnati Bengals. He says, quote, "The offense is sensational. The defensive line is stout. What happened Sunday in Atlanta tells you a lot about the fabric and character of this roster. When Andy Dalton hit A.J. Green with a perfectly placed ball to score the winning touchdown with just 6 ticks left, something became clear. These are not your older brother's Bengals. This is a different Cincy team, one that can absolutely win the AFC North. People are starting to notice." And that's not, it's not just Adam Schein. No, no, no. Not there, not yet. NFL Network, Good Morning Football. You've heard us play clips on this show, on Mo's show, 3 to 6. Good Morning Football is a good show. Well, Kyle Brandt says that he thinks the Bengals are the best team in the AFC.
I'm going to go with a team that's been in school a long time. I mean, they're in 13th grade right now. I'm going to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. And I've kind of got this little voice in my head say, don't fall in love with the Bengals. I kind of am falling in love with them because they were a little bit like Wooderson and Dazed and Confused, just around and around and around, and they never really graduate. They got their act together right now. They got a new trapper keeper, and they got the calculator, and they're getting A's. I like what the Bengals are doing. That game they had against Baltimore was awesome. That one they had last week was awesome. They passed. I would call those tests. I would call those big tests. And in the past, the bigger the test is, the worse the grade has been for the Bengals. So I'm going to give Cincinnati head of the class. I like it.
That's Kyle Brandt, NFL Network. I agree. I agree. I don't know if they're the favorite in the AFC North. I think Sunday was a test, and they passed it. That's why yesterday, part of the show here, part of the show 3 to 6 when I was in for Mo was, are you buying in? Are you buying into this Bengals team? And I think the national media is starting to. By the way, why not? Let's revisit that poll. Over 2,200 of you have voted, and there's still 3 days left. 87% of you are buying in. the national media starting to notice. One more for you. And this was an interesting article by ESPN. They did basically the playoff chances and percentage based on DVOA and Football Outsiders and all these metrics, et cetera. And basically they combine weeks 1 through 4 with preseason forecasts, et cetera, et cetera. And they do say the Bengals have one of the 10 hardest schedules in the league the rest of the way. But in the AFC, fifth best chance to make the playoffs at 60% right now. I don't think that would have been the case going into the season. I think most people looked at this team, and even me, I'm not going to pretend like I was super high on the Bengals. Had them 9-7. And I thought that this team, they were going to have their fair share of ups and downs. I thought 2-2 would have been about as ideal of a start as you could imagine. And that was before all the injuries and before all the stuff that surrounded this team has taken place. And yet somehow they're 3-1. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. It's interesting how the national media starting to jump on the bandwagon. And that leads me to Sunday. Because I've gotten this question a lot. I've been on a few different radio stations in Florida previewing this game, et cetera. And one thing that I keep getting asked is, do you think this is a trap game for the Bengals? Do you think they're going to be looking ahead to Pittsburgh next week or looking back coming off of a big win in Atlanta? And the more I look at it, and I didn't think so initially. I was like, yeah, of course, on paper it looks like a trap game, but they're getting Joe Mixon back. They're going to get Vontaze Burfict back. They're going to return home for their first Sunday 1 o'clock home game of the year. They're going to be pumped up. At the same time, yeah, it's a little bit of a trap game. It's a little bit of a trap game because you're going up against the 3-1 Dolphins team. You're 5.5-point favorites. You're the favorites for the first time this season. And based on what I'm seeing here, you might be without Giovanni Bernard. You're probably going to be without John Ross. You're obviously without Tyler Eifert. So they're going to be missing some pieces on offense. Ross didn't practice today. Was on the stationary bike, according to multiple reports. Giovanni Bernard was on the rehab field, did not practice today, according to multiple reports. That's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. So Mixon comes in, and now you could be without Eifert, Ross, and Gio. Who knows? Maybe they were just taking it easy on Ross. He was on the stationary bike. He wasn't suited up for practice. But in Marvin Lewis's tenure, usually you need to go. You need to practice on Thursday, at least in a limited capacity. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I think Sunday, if they are going to be a division champion, these are the games you win. The Miami Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill, you got them at home, 1 o'clock, you're rolling, you've won 3 of 4 to start the season, Andy Dalton's been great, this offense continues to score and score and score some more. You got to handle business Sunday. Those are the games, and I get it, Atlanta's this test, and they pass that test. But beating the teams you should beat is sometimes the harder test. Somehow finding a way to do it without Ross and Gio and Eifert, that might be a challenge. But they need to win Sunday. This idea that it's going to be a cakewalk, I'm not sure it is. 5.5-point favorites? I don't know if I see that. I don't know if I buy into that. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. The calling numbers are 513-749-1530 and 866-702-3776. National media is starting to take notice. You handle business Sunday. You go 4-1 heading into Pittsburgh or heading into a home matchup against Pittsburgh. It's right where you want to be because you'll have the chance to deliver what would essentially be, after 6 games, the knockout blow to the Steelers, especially if they lose to Atlanta this weekend, which is very possible. Very possible. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. I caught up with Sam Hubbard yesterday, and I talked to him about a variety of things, including the Miami game, including the defensive struggles, and I want to talk about the defense on the back end of this. Jeff Hobson coming up in about 10 minutes, but here's my interview. I caught up with Sam Hubbard yesterday in the Bengals locker room. In the locker room with Sam Hubbard. Sam, how have you adjusted? First quarter of the season, what's it like being in the NFL?
It's a big adjustment. You know, it's definitely challenging. You know, they say it's a long season for a reason. You know, you only played 4 games. We got a lot more football to play. Just puts more emphasis on taking care of your body and making it through the season and playing your best football when it matters.
I feel like since you've gotten here, you've seen a little bit of everything from key guys going down to injury to veterans getting released and Brandon LaFell. I mean, there's been a bunch of different things that you've seen in your short time in the NFL. Is there anything that surprised you the most?
I think it's just a surprise how competitive everything is. You know, every day you got to be at your best and you got to perform. If you're not performing, then, you know, you can could not be here much longer. So, you know, every day you got to bring your best. You got to be studying your notes. Can't make mistakes, because the difference between games in the NFL is one or two plays, and that's how every game is.
As a defensive lineman, there's plenty of defensive linemen, that veterans on this team, whether it's Geno Atkins, whether it's Carlos Dunlap, Michael Johnson, etc. Has there been anyone that's kind of taken you under their wing?
Yeah, I would say Michael Johnson. We've become really close over these first few months of the season, and just a great role model and person to have in the locker room as a mentor.
In the locker room with Sam Hubbard, a few more questions for him. Obviously, you got the Dolphins this week. What have you seen from them on film? I know Ryan Tannehill's off to a good start. What challenge does that offense possess for you guys?
They do a lot of things well. You know, they've got very athletic receivers, athletic tight end. They're good at running the ball, very good left tackle in Laremy Tunsil. I think they present a lot of different challenges, but it really, football is football. And if we play our defense fundamentally sound, I think we'll have success. But, you know, once again, it's the NFL, and there's great players everywhere. So we got to be at our best.
You'll get to play at Paul Brown Stadium for the second time now in the regular season. How much did it mean to you that first time when you took the field against the Ravens?
Yeah, that was special. And, you know, a Thursday night game against the Ravens. I just want to continue playing well at home. It starts it's game two on Sunday.
What's the meeting room been like this week on defense? Obviously, there's been some issues, I would say, over the past couple of weeks. So what's the, I guess, the vibe like when Terrell Austin meets with you guys?
Yeah, I think it's just more, we're becoming more and more detail-oriented. We watch some plays. We're literally inches away from breaking up a pass or doing what we were supposed to do. We were a little late or a little unsure, so we're trying to really make everyone know exactly what they're doing, when they're doing it, so we can play faster and just paying closer attention to detail.
Did you get a chance to watch Ohio State over the weekend against Penn State? What'd you think?
Great game. You know, I'm really shout out to the boys for getting it done. That's a special moment, similar to what I had last year against Penn State, and they'll cherish it forever.
Sam, I appreciate the time. Good luck Sunday.
No problem. Thanks.
I was hoping Sam would have been like, yeah, thank you, James Franklin, for telling Trace McSorley to hand the ball off on the biggest play. That is still the dumbest call of the year in college football. Probably in football total. Like every football game, including Pee Wee football. I still can't believe that happened in that Penn State Ohio State game. That's my interview with Sam Hubbard. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. Bengals defense struggling a bit over the past couple of weeks. They entered week three when they traveled down to Carolina. Second in the league in turnover differential. They were right behind the Browns. They were plus three in turnover differential. Now the Bengals are 20th in the NFL at minus two. That cannot continue. That cannot continue in a league where offenses are putting up a ton of points. In a league where if you turn the ball over, odds are the other team is scoring points. I mean, that's just it, and that is it. And this defense isn't playing great right now. So the way you hide a great defense or a bad defense, you get turnovers. Everyone talks about the 2005 Bengals and that defense. They weren't good at stopping people. They couldn't stop anyone. But they forced turnovers. And it made it easier on Carson and that offense to score a bunch of points. So I think that if this Bengals defense is going to be better, the first thing is the turnover thing. Because I don't know if they're just going to suddenly be able to cover way better than they have in the first month. I don't know if Dre Kirkpatrick is suddenly going to be able to wake up and say, oh, I'm going to be a shutdown corner. I don't know if William Jackson is suddenly going to get way better at guarding crossing routes across the field when Mohamed Sanu is beating him on Sunday. But what he can get better at and what they all can get better at is what they can get better at is forcing turnovers. Like, Dre Kirkpatrick gets beat a bunch, fine. But if you intercept the balls that have been in his hands over the past month, it makes up for it. Alex says, James, that wasn't the worst call in football, Pat Seahawks. I'm talking about this year, Alex. I'm not talking about the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, but it was like that. It was almost equally as bad. It was awful. I mean, it was so bad. It might be worse. It might be worse. Because at least in the Seahawks, they were first down. You could have ran it on second down if it was an incomplete. The Penn State play was a fourth down. I think Seattle would have went to Marshawn Lynch on fourth down. It was first down. They thought they had plenty of time. All right, let's throw it here and see. Worst case, it's incomplete. No, it was intercepted, which I was happy about because I wanted Brady to get ring number four. Since then, he's gotten ring number five. I'm James Rapine. This is Cincy 360. This defense has to figure it out, though. And I played the Kyle Brandt clip from NFL Network saying that the Bengals are the best team in the AFC. And then right afterwards, Kay Adams said the Ravens. And I could see the Ravens because they're more complete. That defense is actually good. The Bengals' defense on paper could be good. And maybe Sunday, after Sunday's game, and Vontaze Burfict's out there, maybe we're talking about this defense being good. But until it happens, you trust in this team to score 30 every week? Is that the bar? If that's the bar, that's going to be tough to do. And even in an offensive-driven league like the NFL has been so far this season. I'm James Rapine. This is Cincy 360. We have a ton to get to, including Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com. I caught up with Jeff yesterday. I want to play part of that conversation for you next. Plus, we'll get some injury updates and more. I'm James Rapine. This is Cincy 360. Stay tuned. Jeff Hobson next, right here on ESPN 1530.
Cincy 360 resumes. Brought to you by Safe Auto. Give us 3 minutes, save up to 25% on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
I'm James Rapine. This is Cincy 360. With you till 1 o'clock. We do this every single weekday, noon to 1, here on ESPN 1530. Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com, coming up in about a minute or so. I do want to talk about a few things here real quick. Because I think this Bengals team, despite being 3-1, and I know Ross didn't practice today and Giovanni Bernard didn't practice today, and Billy Price is going to be out for at least the next 2 weeks. He'll get reevaluated. He'll stay in the boot for the next 2 weeks and get reevaluated after that with that right foot / ankle injury. But to me, this team at 3-1, there's still a ton they can improve. I talked about the turnovers. I talked about the defense. A defense that a month ago we thought was going to be pretty good. I think that's fair to say that most fans, most analysts that pay attention to the team thought, okay, they're going to be pretty good on defense. I think that this team can get way better. Way better after a 3-1 start. I think they can improve a ton. Now, will Andy's play improve more? Probably not, because I think he's had the best four-game stretch of his career. Will Tyler Boyd's play improve more? He's already leading the team in receiving yards and receptions. But as a collective group, defensively, obviously we've seen the inconsistencies. Excuse me, of John Ross. To me, some of those things can be improved on. The linebacker play, certainly going to get better with Vontaze Burfict and Preston Brown, now healthy. Talked to Preston yesterday. He said he's healthy. So I think this team, even at 3-1, there's a ton, and I mean a ton, they can improve on and get better at. And that is what you want, I think, through the first month of the season. Obviously, they're in first place in the AFC North. They have a big game Sunday against Miami. We will dive in preview-wise tomorrow on Cincy 360, preview what we expect to see on Sunday. Plus, Stucky, 24 hours from now, will join us to give us his best bets of the week. But I caught up with Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com, yesterday, and I asked him a bunch of things, but I started with the quarterback, Andy Dalton. I think this is the best four-game stretch of Andy Dalton's career, and I asked Jeff Hobson if I was crazy to think that this was the best month of Andy's career.
No, I don't. You know, probably not, but I bet if we went back and looked, there were better ones. I mean, I think the guy, maybe the most underrated guy in the league. You know, he's had some pretty good, you know, I go back into 2015. He had a pretty good run there, too. But it's an interesting question. He's been good. He's been good even when his stats have been bad. Mm-hmm. That's how good he's been. So, you know, I was talking to Dave Lapham about this out of practice today. Last year, you know, he was pretty good when there was stuff melting all around him. You know, he was the one constant. This thing really could have imploded, but he hung in there. And you got to remember, you know, James, this may be indeed be his best four-game stretch. He's in a new offense.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys are in a new offense, and he's out there operating it like he's been doing it for 20 years. So I agree with you. It's been an impressive four-game stretch.
It's been a...
It may be the most, but I think it's probably the most unheralded in the league.
Yeah, I would say that at least through the first month of the season. Speaking of first months of the season and impressing, Tyler Boyd, I mean, I was high on Tyler Boyd when they drafted him. He performed well as a rookie. Then he was a healthy scratch a couple of weeks last season, and it seemed like who knows what you were going to get going into this year. And after the first month, he leads this team in receptions and receiving yards. What a 180 from year two to year three for Boyd.
Yeah, I think, you know, Marvin hit it on the head there. I think he sat out. He sat out a couple games. He was hurt. He sat back. I think there's another guy who had an underrated rookie year. Between Chris Collinsworth in 81 and A.J. Green in 2011, that's the best, most productive year that a rookie receiver's had here. And, you know, I think he led all rookie receivers with third downs. And, you know, I think what he did was he sat out a little bit. I think he had some off-field stuff where he got everything together, got things together, and you know, had a great last two games, and he's really, you know, hell, I mean, probably as good as any as any receiver in the league right there. You know, he's on pace for 1,396 yards. But the thing that impresses me about him, James, is whenever there's a big play to be made, he makes it. He did it as a rookie on third down. As everyone knows, he did it on fourth down in the last game last year, and he was just absolutely hellacious in the last drive down in Atlanta. He converted one third down, converted two fourth downs. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Jeff Hobson is with us, Bengals.com. Vontaze Burfict returned to practice today. He's going to play Sunday, right?
I got to believe it. I mean, he's made a career out of rolling out of bed. You know, he's like a guy that rolls out of bed and February and hits, you know, 315. You know, it's just a matter of how many snaps, James. I mean, he looked like he was in pretty good shape out there. You know, don't know, but that's, you know, don't know what kind of football shape he's in. But I bet a buck they'll try to play him 20 snaps and he'll probably end up playing 35. He has a history of doing that. He actually did this 2 years ago against this Miami team on Thursday night when he came back from suspension. And I remember they held the Dolphins to one touchdown. And, you know, he played more than they thought. He did it in 2015 in Pittsburgh. Remember, he was coming off PUP, seventh game of the year, and Ray Malaluga went down on the first snap of the game. So suddenly he goes to playing on third down to playing virtually every snap. And they beat the Steelers down there. So Tez has a way of showing up for the moment, and I would expect every bit of that Sunday.
How did he look today at practice?
All we saw, basically, James, was individuals and stretching, and pretty hard to tell. You know, I'm sure his timing isn't as good as it was with those other guys, but that's not what Tez is about. Tez is about when they're playing the game and they blow the whistle, and they're actually playing football. So we really, you know, you can't tell out there. But I don't know if you could tell anyway. If you watched every second of practice, that couldn't tell you how Vontaze is going to play on Sunday because he's so much different when the lights are on.
He looked like he looked lean today, based on what I saw. I saw him in the locker room. He didn't look too plump. And I know he's had his issues just staying in shape when he's not playing in the past. But at least from the eye test, it seemed like Burfict passes that as of right now.
Yeah, that's the word, you know. And if he's you know, and then obviously that passes the Marvin test. What was ever on that, you know, was ever on that scale, and it's going to be hard for Marvin not to play him not to play him very much.
Yeah, I agree with that. Do you think that? And is there concern within the organization? And Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com, is with us. I'm James Rapine. Is there concern at all with these new rules, with the way quarterbacks are being protected right now? that Burfict is going to have to adjust even more than he already has with his game, and he's obviously got a target on his back from officials in the league, et cetera. Is there any worry there? Has that been discussed at all?
I haven't heard it discussed, but, I mean, there's no question that there's concern. I mean, the guy's had a target on his back, you know, for a while. Some of it he's invited, some of it he hasn't. And so I think, you know, I can't wait to ask him Friday. You know, he's going to talk to the press Friday. That's probably one of the first questions. You know, when you get guys like Carl Lawson and Sean Williams wondering about it, you know, about the roughing the quarterback stuff, you can imagine what's going through Tez's mind. So, you know, I mean, obviously there's a concern. I saw where there's, but I don't know, maybe we've panicked with the helmet rule. What, there's only been four calls? There's only been four?
Yeah, it hasn't been bad.
Yeah, so, so are the news rule, you know, what are the rules? Are they? They seem to be tougher on roughing the quarterback than it is with the helmet rule, but who knows with Tez? You know, they seem to have a different standard for him. So, but, I, you know, Tez is a smart guy. I mean, you know, I mean, I he sees what's going on. So, I'm sure he'll try to adjust.
Jeff Hobson is with us, Bengals.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jeff Hobson. Let's talk about the return of Sunday. Joe Mixon could return as well. It's not just Vontaze Burfict. It sounded like when Marvin was talking in his press conference today, he described the forecast as sunny for Joe. So Joe expected to return Sunday, but Giovanni Bernard down. Interesting there. Do you think both running backs will be back, or do you think they're going to swap it and Gio could be down this week?
Well, I mean, it sure does sound like Joe's going to be back. He was listed as limited, but, you know, I guess you would expect that his first time off. Certainly, the only thing I would think that the only reason Joe wouldn't play, I would think, is because they want to hold him back one more week for Pittsburgh. But he looks like, you know, judging by that run down the sideline to greet Green, it looks like he's ready. I think Gio will be ready, too. I think they're just kind of, you know, he took a lot of shots in that game down in Atlanta. He played a gutsy game, all out, had a lot of work, you know, took some shots. I think that's just kind of probably rest for a guy that, you know, took a lot of blows on Sunday. I think Gio will be back. And, it sure sounds like Mixon's going to be back, too.
Yeah, and that's great news for the Bengals. And, Jeff, this kind of ties into what I led off with the Andy Dalton in the four-game stretch. But the Bengals are 3-1. Their starting running back went down. Their starting center is still down. They were without Vontaze Burfict. They started 3 of 4 on the road against NFC South opponents in Atlanta and Carolina, both really good teams. And they found a way to win 3 out of 4. I think that this is almost a best-case scenario when you consider all of the circumstances going into it. To start the season 3-1, would you agree?
And there's no question. That last drive, I think, to me, summed it all up. You get you don't have Giovanni Bernard. You get Alex Erickson taking snaps at running back. You know, you've got John Ross is not in the game, so Erickson's playing a little bit of the slot. I mean, you got Cody Cord coming out there and on that last drive taking snaps. It was really a total team win. I mean, you can talk about the defense, you know, giving up all those yards, and points, but they made three huge, you know, they made the huge, huge fourth down stop early in the game on a Geno sack, and Carl Lawson came up with a big sack to force him to a field goal late. So it was really a classic team effort. To me, they had to split between Carolina and Atlanta, and they did it the hard way, beating Matt Ryan in Atlanta. And, you know, I thought they had to get back here 3-1. Now they know they're going to be around this thing for the entire season at 3-1. And, you know, that was huge to get that split down there. And it was, like I said, they did it the hard way. I mean, and the way they did it, this is a team, it kind of reminds me of not the 15 team. It kind of reminds me of the 09 team.
Agreed.
It was really a new team makeup-wise. And that was more of a, veteran team, but they were kind of a hybrid of draft picks and kind of recycled veterans. And this one is more the youth of this team. You know, this is the youth of this team stepping up, but it's the same kind of feel. And that this is kind of a new addition out there. You know, it's not as proven as that 15 team, but kind of making their way like that 09 team.
Last question for you, Jeff, and you've been great with your time. John Ross is a guy that a week ago was getting just destroyed on shows like this. On basically anyone that writes or covers the Bengals, there was criticism going John Ross's way. I think he rebounded well in Atlanta. What is the organization? How do they look at him right now? How do the coaches look at him? And what's your opinion of Ross? Because I think if coming into the season you would have said he's going to have 2 touchdowns in 4 games, you would have taken that. But you also don't want the bad stuff that happened week 3. So just what's the overall feel right now of the second-year player?
Well, yeah, clearly they're looking for more consistency from the guy because because as you have seen, he's a very dangerous player, you know. And I think they're going to be patient with him. I mean, this guy's he wants to do well. You know, I think everybody in the world, from Chad Johnson to the guy from, you know, to the guy from Anderson, Colin, is saying, you know, don't think so much. You know, just go out and play and have fun. You know, he's a good guy. He wants to do well. He's committed. You know, he's going through things that we all go through as when you're in your profession for the first time. 22, 23, 24 years old. I mean, when I was 22, I could barely tie my shoe, you know. So, unfortunately, these guys have to grow up in the spotlight. Bright guy, knows what he's got to get done. And, you know, he said it. I thought he was, Chad, I had a nice chat with Chad Johnson last week, and Chad said, you know, he loves John Ross. He loves his game. And if he had a chance to talk to him, he would tell him, listen, just relax, enjoy it. Don't think. Just go play. And that's exactly what Chad told him when before the game on the field. And T.J. Houshmandzadeh basically told him the same thing. John, I guess they talked or texted before the game down in Atlanta. And, you know, T.J. has worked with John out on the field and practice out in California in the off season. So, I think, you know, and Chad said, listen, right now it's a mental thing because he's got all the physical tools and he's showing it. You know, Chad thinks there's no difference between him and Tyreek Hill, that he can be the Bengals' Tyreek Hill. And I think John just needs confidence. I think he just needs to more plays. You know, I mean, people don't talk. I mean, he got to score the touchdown, but people don't talk about the play on the sideline after the touchdown in the third quarter.
That's the best catch I've seen him make.
Yeah, no question. Tough went to the ground. I mean, just stretched out, and he was hurt. He had a groin problem. We saw it when he grabbed for it, when he scored the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a hell of a play. I mean, so, you know, I think nobody's putting this guy on a rowboat and pushing him out like he's Henry Hudson. You know, I mean, this guy is a number one pick for a reason. He showed it, and I think they're going to be patient with him.
That's Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com. And he joined me yesterday, that entire thing, on the blog at ESPN1530.com. Yeah, I think, real quick on Ross, he did not practice today with that groin, was limited yesterday. I wonder if he's going to go Sunday. It's tough. I mean, a week ago, A.J. Green, we thought last week after that game in Carolina, we thought maybe he tweaked his groin. And when you got to run with a pulled groin, it's tough. So I wouldn't be surprised, and I think I lean towards him being out this week, which means, who knows, maybe we'll get our first look at Auden Tate. Here's what I think is really interesting about this Bengals team. And we still have a lot coming up in quick hits in a few short minutes, including Bengals or the NFL matchup tonight, which is Colts and Patriots. We'll get to that in a few. But to me, this team has shown such poise and has responded so well to so many different injuries. Think about this. Like, Joe Mixon goes down in the middle of game 2, 5 games into the year, comes back, helps them win the game, has surgery a day later. Billy Price hurts his foot, his right foot, and has been in a boot since that game. Who stepped in? Trey Hopkins stepped in at center and has played well. No one's noticed him, and that's a good thing if you're an offensive lineman. Giovanni Bernard stepped in and has played great. Had 80-plus yards from scrimmage in both weeks that he started and is catching the ball out of the backfield, made some cuts, had 2 touchdowns on Sunday. We know what he brings, right? This team, when a guy goes down, they just find someone else, and they've had success. I mean, think about it, those two. A.J. Green goes down against Carolina. What happens? Tyler Boyd gets open a bunch and makes some plays. They lose the game, but that happened. Week one, Sean Williams goes down, not because of injury, but because he was ejected from the game. What happened? Clayton Fedulum, his backup, comes in and makes the play of the day. This team, that next man up cliche mentality, they've used that so far, and it's worked. It has worked. So if on Sunday Giovanni Bernard can't go, well, Joe Mixon will be out there, and Mark Walton, who's played the past couple of weeks, will get more chances, more opportunities. If John Ross can't go, fine. We saw more of Alex Erickson last week. We saw more of Josh Malone last week. Maybe you'll see more of Cody Core. Maybe Auden Tate will be active. But I just get the feeling that this is going to be the kind of season, at least through the first month it has been, where they have injuries to what could be huge parts of their offense or huge parts of their defense and could affect them in a variety of ways. And instead, they don't. Instead, they find a way to, with patchwork or with the backup, come in and have success. I mean, that's the reality of it. And I know there's a lot of fans that want to see Auden Tate. And I don't know if he'll play a lot if Ross is inactive, but I think he'll be active. I think he'll be available. And that, to me, is interesting. And now, with Burfict back, it's going to be Burfict and the other two linebackers. Honestly, I think it's going to be Burfict, Preston Brown, and Nick Vigil, which means Jordan Evans, Hardy Nickerson, those guys. Now, at least they have some experience. Now, at least they know what it's like if they have to go back in for Vontaze Burfict in the middle of a game. And we all know that's going to happen at some point. Burfict's going to get dinged up, just how hard he hits. Sometimes he gets dinged up hitting, delivering the big hit. I mean, that happens a lot with Burfict. So this team, so far, and maybe you say, hey, it's not doable. And I know the Tyler Eifert injury is a big one, but I just assume that C.J. Uzomah and Tyler Kroft are going to be able to handle the duties. I think they'll be fine. I haven't really thought about it much this week. Now, does the ceiling, and Mo and I talked about this Monday, does the ceiling of this offense step down a notch without Eifert? Absolutely. But what have you seen that from this Bengals team this year that they're going to panic or that one injury is going to derail them? The only one so far that would do that is Andy. And he's so great at getting rid of the ball. He isn't taking a ton of huge hits yet. He isn't. Even when he ran the other day, he got out of bounds. So he's been moving with his legs, moving with his feet. This team's been able to overcome a lot of injuries so far, and it looks like they may have to do that again on Sunday. Again, Giovanni Bernard did not practice today. John Ross was on the stationary bike. We'll keep you up to date on both of those injuries. Tomorrow, we'll keep you up to date with them because I assume we'll learn more tomorrow. By the way, I think Vontaze Burfict is going to talk with the media tomorrow. Means I might make my way down to Paul Brown Stadium in the morning. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. You can tweet me at James Erpine, and there's a ton on the blog at ESPN1530.com/James, including every single show podcast at Cincy 360, every single podcast, the Locked On Bengals podcast, so much more on the blog right now at ESPN1530.com. Up next, the Patriots are 10.5-point favorites tonight against Andrew Luck. You got to go with the Colts, right? Wrong. I'll discuss that and so much more during Quick Hits next on Cincy 360.
Cincy 360 continues on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
I'm James Erpine, and this is Cincy 360. We do it every single weekday, noon to 1 on ESPN 1530. Mo back at it today at 3:05. He has a ton on the show. We'll do plenty of different things. You got Jay Morrison at 3:20. You got Dan Claskins with your fantasy football fix at 4:45. Jeff Pecoro going to join him to talk about the Wildcats at 4:20. Bearcat talk with Chad Brendel at 3:40. I mean, he's jam-packed today. So make sure you stay tuned. Keep it locked here on ESPN 1530. Mo and I will be back at it on this show tomorrow at noon. Plus, my hottest takes of the week are coming. And I have a feeling they might involve some of the stuff we're going to talk about during Quick Hits.
It's time for Cincy 360 Quick Hits on ESPN 1530.
Quick Hits is a service of Rumpke Restoration. You heard, if you were listening to the spots there, you heard Mo talk about them. And I'm going to steal his line here. For life's disasters, call the Masters. If you have water damage or need your carpets cleaned, maybe a flooded basement, anything like that, you go to RumpkeRestores.com, and they're going to get you, make you whole again, as I like to say. So call the Masters and go to RumpkeRestores.com. It's Colts at Patriots tonight. Jimmy, I promise you, tomorrow, when we are doing this show, when we meet, when I talk to you, I'll be on Scott Sloan's show tomorrow at 9:30. By then, we're going to be talking about the New England Patriots ruining the days of Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. I think this is going to be a 30-point game. I think the Patriots are just going to shred the Colts tonight. The Colts are without T.Y. Hilton. They're without Marlon Mack. They are going to, and they're without Jack Doyle, one of their starting tight ends. I don't know who Andrew Luck's going to throw it to. The game is in Foxborough. Julian Edelman is returning for New England. They have Rob Gronkowski, who's going to play, according to multiple reports, even though he got dinged up. I think this might be Josh Gordon's big game, by the way. I think this might be his coming out party. And there's been a lot of talk, and the reason I wanted to mention this, this is going to be one of those Thursday night games where everyone's reminded that it's Thursday night football and sometimes it's not good. I have a feeling it will be 21-0 in the first quarter. Like, maybe I'm wrong and just way off here. I just think Vegas at 10.5, you look at that line, you're like, I can't believe New England's a 10.5-point favorite. They've struggled because Vegas knows New England's about to turn it on, flip the switch, Edelman back, Gronk healthy, Josh Gordon get more comfortable each and every week. James White is a stud at running back. I think New England's going to ruin Thursday night football for everyone. And by the second quarter, you're going to be like, yeah, the Patriots won this game. Yeah, the Patriots won this one. And part of it's because Andrew Luck doesn't have some of his weapons, but part of it is because I think New England is going to show everyone, you know, what New England is. Let's talk about baseball for a little bit here on Quick Hits. The Yankees, they handled their business, and I'm excited. I was rooting for the Yankees yesterday for one reason. I wanted to see Yankees-Red Sox. That's what you want to see, right? Right, Jimmy? You want to see that? You want to see the two good teams? What? What you got, the Cleveland? Look at you. It's Yankees-Red Sox. Everyone wants to see that. And now we're going to get it tonight, by the way. Actually, today at 5:07, Colorado, the Rockies, travel to Milwaukee for game one there. And the Braves are at the Dodgers tonight. I believe that game starts at 8. Maybe that starts about 8 or so. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I think these playoffs are going to be interesting because there's no one that really stands at, like, Boston obviously has the best record. The Dodgers might be the best team in the National League, but is anyone going to bet against Milwaukee right now, the way they're playing, the way Christian Yelich is playing? I'm not. It's going to be tough. It'll be very interesting, and I think a lot of fun to watch. I'm excited to watch baseball. Quality baseball, Jimmy, will be on my television. Well, on the television in there, actually, starting at 5 when Colorado and Milwaukee takes place. LeBron James reportedly hired armed guards after Los Angeles burglars targeted his home. And this is crazy. Basically, these burglars got caught after they robbed Robert Woods and Yasiel Puig. And they got caught and they found a list. And some of the targets on said list were LeBron James and Matt Damon. So LeBron hired armed guards. I don't blame him. I don't blame him one bit. If someone's targeting these celebrities and they're getting away with it, at least to a certain degree, well, who's to say there's not others? Who's to say there's not other burglars, I guess you'd say? I would say professional thieves. You almost have to be if you're going to rob, like, LeBron James, right? You're not just doing that if you're just a guy with a Jason mask on. So, yeah, I don't blame LeBron one bit. Heck, not one bit. Especially when you have that money, you can have armed guards. This was interesting. Speaking of the NBA, Chris Haynes says Kevin Durant could go to the New York Knicks next year. He said, quote, the New York Knicks have a very good shot at luring KD away from the Bay Area. The same allure that LeBron had towards the Los Angeles Lakers, just the building, the culture, is the same way I know that KD feels about the Knicks. And I'll never be able to get away with trashing the Knicks when Mo's here. Why the hell would you look at it that way? When's the last time the Knicks were great? I remember the Lakers have been great multiple times during my life. They were great in the 80s. The Lakers have been great, 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 great. History of great makes sense. It makes sense for LeBron to want to go there and restore their greatness. Kevin Durant, I don't know. You trust the Knicks? You trust that franchise? Maybe. So that'll be interesting to see. They haven't shown me anything in 20 years. 20. 1999, Jimmy, when they went to the finals. Since then, I mean, Knicks, anyone thought about them? Thought about them being good? Thinking about them being a destination? But if Kevin Durant goes there, they instantly become a contender. And I'm going to have to deal with Mo talking all day about how the Knicks are great. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Speaking of Mo, he's back at it today, fresh off his 52nd birthday today at 3:05. I'm James Rapine. Thanks for listening today. A ton on the blog at ESPN1530.com. A ton of Bengal stuff on the blog as well. Back at it tomorrow for Cincy 360 starting at noon. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm James Rapine. The Stephen A. Smith Show is next on ESPN 1530.